join in welcoming each and every one of you here, especially those of you who are visiting with us, having made your plans to be with the Lord's people today. And we do pray and hope that our worship today that we have offered thus far and that we continue in now is offered in spirit and in truth. For it is our desire to serve our God and to please Him in all things, to be that godly, positive influence in this community, make a difference in the lives of all, and help each other go home to heaven when this life is over. You know, in thinking about that, and thinking about what we have participated and taken of this morning, I'd like to talk about the memorial feast, the Lord's Supper, and communion. These are all synonymous, if you will, for what we have partaken of just a few moments ago. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we find that the disciples, on the first day of the week, when they were gathered together to break bread, that's a historical document which indicates to us this was the purpose for which the disciples came together. Now, saying that does not minimize any other aspect of our worship. If it is prescribed by our God, it is important. It's important that we follow the pattern established by God through His Holy Spirit as revealed by the apostles and inspired prophets. But we can't escape the fact that the disciples came together on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. And you know, one of the consequences of the pandemic is a change, hopefully temporary, in the way we have conducted the Lord's Supper. Now, we have not, nor will we, change the elements that are used in the participating of the Lord's Supper. We still and will use fruit of the vine and unleavened bread. But the changes we've made are in particular to the delivery of those elements. You know, typically we would have men gather at the table where comments are made. And then the men, after prayer, would then distribute the elements throughout the congregation. And that necessarily required a little bit of time. And you know, that time was valuable to think about and to reflect on this memorial that we participate in each and every week. And in thinking on this and talking with others, we think about the fact that even the time in preparation has been sometimes, not always, sometimes shortened. And I dare say, if someone were to come in who did not understand what the will of God is with regards to the worship of God, and what the Scriptures present to us about why we have gathered together, would they have known that we are here gathered together to partake of the Lord's Supper? Or would they think that was just one moment, one passing brief moment in a larger service? I'm afraid that sometimes someone who comes in without any knowledge of the Scriptures would not hardly even notice the Lord's Supper for the time we take preparing our minds and then partaking of the Lord's Supper. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 26. And I want you to think with me about the fact that the last full day of the Lord that He spent with His apostles was the day of Passover. And the Lord prepared for that day. He and His apostles not only prepared to eat that meal together, but once they gathered, they spent quite a bit of time together. And as you read through the gospel accounts, and in particular John goes into greater detail than some of the others with regards to what took place that day, you can't help but notice it took time. But more than that, it was a time of slow, calm, deliberate actions on the part of the Lord. In what was an otherwise busy week, and what would become a life-changing week. Once these disciples gathered together with Jesus in that upper room, The Lord declared, told them, that one of you will betray me. And he did so calmly. I won't say just as a matter of fact, but he says it. And there's no anxiety. There's no rush in his part to do or say anything beyond the facts. And then in that gathering, he takes up a towel, he girds his waist with it, and he proceeds to wash the feet of his disciples, taking each one at a time. Here is the Lord, the Creator of all, in the flesh, on the last night in which he was with his disciples personally, and he is washing their feet. That's very personal. The King willing to serve each one. And then, after that demonstration of humility and of service, they ate the Passover meal together. And when that meal was complete, Jesus then instituted this special memorial. In Matthew chapter 26, we begin in verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." He then spends time in prayer. And then in verse 30, the text says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, one aspect that is clear in all of these accounts, but in particular John's, is again how calm, how quiet, and how deliberate Jesus was in what he did. He didn't consider this to be just one more thing to get done on his many things to accomplish in the divine will. He didn't say, okay, let's do this. All right, we've done it. Let's move on. Okay, we've done that. Let's move on. No. There was time taken with each of these things to clearly involve the apostles in these events that would stand significantly, not only in their minds, but in ours, as we read the divine record. Jesus was focused, quiet, calm, and deliberate. Now, I wouldn't blame him if there was some measure of frantic anxiety and upset, that he was scattered in speech or thought. After all, he has a lot that's going on and a lot that will come, and he knew it all. But his memorial was established at a time in which he was calm, focused, quiet, and deliberate. And his memorial that we have partaken of this day at that table is to be a time in which we are focused, quiet, calm, and deliberately remember him and his sacrifice. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, I read some from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. In which the Apostle Paul writes, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have even died." Now, Now, one thing that I don't think can escape us as we read this text, if we think about what we're being asked to do, and I dare say commanded to do by our Lord through His apostle, it's going to require something of us. It requires something from us, each and every one of us, personally. And among other things, it is time. Now, I'm not saying that's all that there is to this, but that is certainly something that is required in order for us to accomplish what we've been asked to do here. Time. Now, I'm going to ask a question that I hope is ridiculous to us, but perhaps is needing to be asked. Which is more precious to you? Which is more precious to you, time or your Lord and His sacrifice for you? Now, I hope we would all resoundingly say, the Lord. After all, He is the one who has given us this time. He is the one who has given us this time so that we might be good stewards of this time. And yet sometimes I'm afraid, because of habit or routine or just the busyness of life and the deceitfulness of sin, I'm afraid sometimes we prize our time more than the Lord and His sacrifice. And so I want us to think about the death of Jesus on the cross in a sacrifice in a sense of every sense of the word. Not only did it require that Jesus give His life for us, but His sacrificial death makes possible for God to forgive us our sin. It not only makes possible that we be forgiven of our sins, but it allows God to continue to be just. And He chose to memorialize His death in this way, that which we call the Lord's Supper. That is what the Apostle Paul refers to it as in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20. And I don't think we can ever doubt that it is a serious and a solemn event. And so when we engage in that act of worship, as with all worship, it must be done in spirit and in truth, engaging our hearts fully. And so let's think for just a little while, a basic lesson on this memorial feast and why we should participate first in this memorial. The Holy Spirit is clear that the Lord's Supper, this communion, it's not to fill our bellies. It is to fill our minds and involve our spirits. It's a memorial. And we know that memorials in this world can take many forms. They can be formed of stone or precious metal or an event that is prescribed by some group or individual for a purpose. And that's what the Lord has chosen to do. In His wisdom, He chose an event that is to be repeated until He returns for us. As we read a moment ago, it is done in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not the kind of remembrance that we were there and we look back on an event in which we observed and we experienced personally, as the apostles no doubt did. And it's not just a memory of some event. You just take your choice. No, it is a particular event. And it is for our remembrance. It is to be a time of commemoration, a time of thinking, and of examining in light of that event, which not only was accomplished by the Son of God, but has been preserved for us in the writings given by the Holy Spirit of God, so that we might know exactly what took place, and we might consider all that is necessary so that we might be not only pleasing to our God, but blessed by our God. And He established this memorial with those two simple elements that we've already mentioned and already partaken of this morning. The unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, or grape juice. Again, sometimes people think of those memorials of stone, of precious metal, or of some artwork as being lasting. But you know what has outlasted all of those things? And will outlast those things? the Lord's memorial, the unleavened bread and the grape juice, which are available, which are simple, and which are repeatable. The bread, representing his body, and the fruit of the vine, his blood. This memorial is over 2,000 years old, and it is still just as valid and vibrant today for you and for me as it was then when it was given by the Lord on that night, and when it was prescribed by his apostles as they proclaimed the gospel to a lost and dying world and to congregations of God's people. And through this simple act, we proclaim the Lord's death. And it's a lasting memorial. It is a lasting memorial because it is to be participated in until he comes. So let's now think about when we should participate. The timing of the Lord's Supper is provided by the Holy Spirit of God. And I referred to this, read a portion of it, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. The context for this historically is the Apostle Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, coming together with a congregation of God's people, gathered at Troas. And the Holy Spirit records for us by the hand of Luke in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul gathered with them, intending to depart the next day. He prolonged his speech until midnight. They came together to break bread. Again, that does not diminish any other part of their worship, but they came together to break bread. And that's why we have come together, to break bread, to remember the sacrifice of God's Son. And you know, with regards to the timing of the Lord's Supper, as to when it was partaken of, we don't have any other texts of Scripture that reveal another time. Therefore, using these words that are given to us by the Holy Spirit of God, it eliminates any other time. Because this is the time that is authorized by God and his apostle Paul. Ideally, it is to be partaken of when the saints are gathered together in an assembly such as this. But let's also remember that the Lord's Supper is first a personal memorial and communion between an individual and the Lord. That is the first and prime relationship that this memorial has. And secondarily, it is to be done in an assembling together of ourselves as a congregation each first day of the week when possible. So we've answered why, we've answered the when, let's think about the how. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we do so with the Lord. The Lord declares this in Matthew 26 and verse 29, which we read a moment ago. And when we observe the Lord's Supper, his memorial, we do so with those two simple elements prescribed, used by him and by his apostle in the first century church. And so, to observe the memorial feast, we focus our minds. It involves a remembrance that cannot help but involve the totality of our minds, focused on the Lord and his death at Calvary and what he has accomplished through his blood. Look again, if you're still there, if you're not, turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 25. The Apostle Paul, again, is writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, in the same way, also Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now continue in verse 27. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Now, just right there, you can't help but see this is a serious matter. to think about, to dwell on these things. This remembrance is a serious thing. Because if we do it in an unworthy way, he says we are guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. And so he continues in the text saying, let a person examine himself. Examine himself. That means that I have to seriously contemplate myself in relationship to God and his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Again, we can't help but notice this is a serious thing. This is a matter of spiritual life and of death. And so to fulfill this command requires that we block out, actively engage our minds, blocking out those things that may distract us. But we don't exist in a vacuum. We fill our minds and involve our minds in a thinking of Jesus, the Son of God. God with us, Emmanuel. We actively think of him. And the man or men who serve at the table, we need to make sure that we're prepared. That we prepare ourselves so that we have well-chosen remarks. Scriptures that will help all of us think about those events and that sacrifice. And I suggest to you that it's going to involve and require more of us than just reading the institution of the Lord's Supper, but those texts which also inform us of the attitudes, ideas, prophecies, promises, the giving of Christ's death of life on the cross. That we prepare ourselves for that. That means, I know there are times in which we have to fill in for someone, but I would suggest to you, as we should with all aspects of our worship, that men, we prepare ourselves before we ever come into the assembly. That we know what we're going to do, we know what we're going to say, because we're going to help a congregation of God's people think about, dwell on, remember this precious memorial. Remember, our spiritual lives hang in the balance if we don't do this correctly. If we do it in an unworthy manner. Men, we should not ever want to participate in a way that would distract from this. We don't want to do or say or wear anything that would cause someone to forget the Lord and think about and dwell on us. And again, we are in the presence of God when we do this. Never, ever forget this. It requires that quiet time. I know that when you're before a congregation like this, 5 seconds sometimes feels like a minute. And sometimes it's hard to judge that time. And I don't want us to become clock watchers and say, okay, it's been long enough. But it's going to require some time, some quiet time with God to remember the Lord, his sacrifice, our sins. Because we have to examine ourselves. And I think the examination we do of ourselves must be daily. And I believe it must be in those private and quiet times when we study from God's Word. But I believe we also must do this when we are partaking of this memorial. We're communing with God, after all. And to rush through such a memorial, that's a shame. To speed through it so that it does not seem or appear to be important, that shouldn't be. And really, it does a disservice and dishonor to the Lord and to his church. The Lord said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And so I appeal to you who love the Lord, let's do everything we can to remember the Lord, to participate with him in this memorial, to do so to the best of our ability, not to come to this in a haphazard, careless way. Not to treat it as something just to do, a checklist item. He says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not men. We don't do this to impress anyone. But be sure that what we do has an effect on everyone. We should be offering God our best. Now, regarding our prayers at the table, let's make sure that we're not offering opening prayers and closing prayers and praying for safe travels or for the sick. There are other times during the assembly in which those are appropriate and needful. But at the Lord's table, we should be praying for the Lord, the congregation, for clear minds and consciences, so that we might not participate in an unworthy manner, but that we might fully offer our hearts with gratitude for the elements, for gratitude to God who gave them, and for gratitude to God who gave His Son. Held nothing back. And offer that blessing. We should keep our minds during that time focused clearly on Calvary and all that has been accomplished on our behalf. After all, it is the Lord who said, "This do in remembrance of me." So the Scriptures provide us with instruction, with example, and with clear answer as to why, when, and how we participate in this memorial. What we do in our worship, as in this memorial, can either help or hurt, can either promote or distract from our worship. And I would suggest that we clearly, calmly, and with preparation plan to make this memorial solemn, sober, and meaningful for each disciple. Men, we're not the only ones who serve the Lord, but we do serve the Lord in a public manner. Your service is extremely important. It's vital. It is prescribed by God. It is authorized by God. Let's do so in a way that is pleasing to Him and that is helpful to all. I believe the Lord's Supper is one of the many reasons why we should make every effort to be present and fully involved in the assemblies when possible, each first day of the week. But let's not forget that it is the reason why we have come today. We've come together to break bread. And if you're here this morning, your life is not right, and you want to participate and partake of the blessings that exist and that reside in Jesus Christ, you want to be free from your sin that separates you from God, and you want to be right with Him so that you might live a faithful life, that you might be able to participate in this memorial, and more than that, you might be able to look forward to His return one day when He'll call the righteous home. You need to respond to the gospel call. You need to obey the gospel today. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to make that good confession before this good audience today? Unashamedly, without hesitation, are you willing to submit yourself in repentance and then in baptism to God so that you might rise to walk in that new life, a new life with hope, a new life of faithful service, blessings, and righteous living, and look forward one day to that crown of life when this life is over? If we can assist you in doing that, we encourage you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing the psalm that's been selected.